Well, a blessed Sabbath to each one of you, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this wonderful Sabbath. Let us get right into the service this morning, and I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel for opening prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you for thy merciful kindness, thank you for a good night's sleep, and thank you for waking us refreshed to another beautiful Sabbath. We invite your presence to be in our midst, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, and please bring the atmosphere of heaven down to each one of us. Dispel all the darkness around us, all the darkness in our hearts, and allow only the light as it shines from the face of our dear Savior to illuminate our souls and to lead and guide us upward into the truth. We thank you so much, Godhead, for being here in our midst. And please, Father, pour thy Spirit out in rich abundance in both early and latter rain power. For we claim Zechariah 10:1, that we're to ask for thee the latter rain in the time of the latter rain, and that you have promised to give it to us in rich abundance so that there may be new growth in our hearts. And as we know that this is indeed the time of the latter rain, for it is falling and the loud cry message is going forth around the world. So, Father, we claim this promise and we thank you for pouring upon us thy Spirit. Please open our eyes now as we read more about our Savior being God with us, and help us to see beneath the surface and understand greater gems of truth today. And thank you so much for doing so. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So we're continuing in our book, Desire of Ages. And for those that would like to read along, the link is found at lightministries.com/ID621.htm. And we're chapter 1 down to the bottom of page 21. And the paragraph begins, "In heaven itself, this law was broken." So chapter 1, entitled God with Us, down to the bottom of page 21. In heaven itself, this law was broken. Referring to the law that was the foundation of God's throne. Sin originated in self-seeking. Lucifer, the covering cherub, desired to be first in heaven. Now, if you understand what was taking place in heaven and how God had arranged his government, you had the Godhead creating the angels, and the very first angel that was created, and Christ was the one who created him, was Lucifer. Then from Lucifer, all the rest of the angels were created. So Lucifer was the very first angel created. And since he was the first, he had a lot of grand responsibilities. He was able to be in the very throne room of God as one of the cherubims that protected and guarded the Almighty. And you can find this in Isaiah 14 and also Ezekiel 28. So Lucifer had that exalted position. It also mentions that he had pipes that were created in him. And of course, pipes would give off a sound when air passed through them. And so you can understand that Lucifer was created to be a very grand singer for God. And the Spirit of Prophecy brings out that he was the choir director. And since in Ezekiel it mentions pipes, plural, then Lucifer was able to sing in more than one chord at a time. So you can imagine him being able to sing a four-part harmony by himself and thus could be able to lead the rest of the angels into following this four-part harmony. Plus, he was one of the most beautiful looking of the angels. The Bible also terms that he was a prince, and a prince means that he was in control of the angels. But he was not the commander of the angels, like Christ was. Lucifer had authority over the angels, but he did not have full and complete control of the angels, because Christ was in a higher position than Lucifer. Christ was the creator of Lucifer, and thus he was exalted above Lucifer. So Lucifer had all of these advantages. He had all of these responsibilities. He had all of these grand positions of honor that none of the other angels had. It was only Christ and Lucifer that could be within the throne room of the Most High. But Lucifer wasn't content with all of these grand responsibilities. He wanted more. And because he wanted more, he set about to obtain more. First asking God and Michael at the time to give him more authority, to allow him to have his throne not just placed in his position of authority, but to be placed right alongside the throne of God. And of course, they declined that because Lucifer was a created being. He was not God, and thus did not deserve to be worshipped as a god, or to rule as a god, or to command others as a god. He was just a created being, albeit a very highly exalted created being. So Lucifer's sin began with believing that because he was so beautiful and so highly exalted in heaven, that this meant he could be exalted even more. Exalted on an equality with God. And because God and Michael would not grant him that, he sought through deception, through underhandedness, through covert means to try and force God to give him what he desired. So sin originated in self-seeking in the heart of Lucifer. Lucifer, the covering cherub, desired to be first in heaven. He wanted to be equal with God, and if that would have happened, then he would have supplanted God to become the supreme in heaven. So this shows us that if someone is self-seeking, if someone is centered upon self-exaltation, that they're not going to be content with just a higher position. They will continue all the way until they are the highest position. So if you understand that someone is working on the principle of self-exaltation or self-seeking, don't even bend to them one step, because they won't be content with that step. They'll want it all, because their focus is on self. So when you see that type of spirit, that's the time to rebuke it, not to compromise with it, not to pet it and go along with it and ignore it, because it's only going to get worse. It's better to nip it in the bud right in the beginning than it is to let it flower and produce fruit that in turn can produce more fruit. By their fruits ye shall know them. So Lucifer, the covering cherub, desired to be first in heaven, and he still rules in the heart of mankind today, and very sadly, even among the remnant today. Continuing. He, or Lucifer, sought to gain control of heavenly beings, to draw them away from their Creator, and to win their homage to himself. So what's another aspect of self-seeking? Jealousy. Lucifer was jealous of the fact that the angels were worshiping Christ above him. That caused Lucifer to be envious of Christ and to be jealous of his command and receiving worship of fellow angels. And so Lucifer went about to draw the angels away from their loyalty to Christ and to win their homage or worship to himself. So envy and jealousy are sisters to the parent of selfishness. Continuing, therefore he misrepresented God, attributing to him the desire for self-exaltation. With his own evil characteristics, he sought to invest the loving Creator. So what goes along with self-seeking, envy, and jealousy? Misrepresentation of the character of God. And Lucifer did that by charging God with the very sins that Lucifer was guilty of himself. Is that still happening today? Very much so. When you find individuals that are determined to go about and spread accusations about others, right off the bat you should be suspicious that this is what Satan's characteristics are. Next, you should investigate into what the accusations are really based upon. Are they based upon facts of truth or upon supposition and surmising? If they're based upon facts of truth, are these facts being seen in the correct manner, or are they being colored to appear that way? So those that are self-centered and are self-exalted become jealous over the attention or over the influence that their fellow brothers or sisters have over others. And the only way to get the attention off of their other brothers and sisters and onto themselves is to begin misrepresenting their character. And in following Lucifer's characteristics, Lucifer's ways, the very accusations that they give towards others, if you do some close examination, are the very sins that these people are guilty of themselves. But so many times, just the fact that a brother or sister has raised an accusation against another just in that fact, individuals immediately believe it without making sure that it's true. Or individuals say, I've heard all this before, I don't want any part of this trouble, so I'm just going to leave the entire group to themselves and go off somewhere else where there's not this problem. Either way, the devil wins. But this is how Lucifer works. And he's been so successful at it, even among God's remnant people of today. So Lucifer began raising accusations, insinuations about God to the angels. He was charging God with sins that Lucifer himself was guilty of doing and God was innocent of doing. But just because he charged God with these sins, the angels began to doubt that God was really their benefactor, and that Lucifer instead was the one to be praised for figuring all this out and bringing it up to others to know. They were deceived, misled. And the once peaceful unity and harmony of heaven was being broken down. So with his own evil characteristics, Lucifer sought to make God guilty of. Continuing. Thus he deceived angels. Thus he deceived men. He led them to doubt the word of God and to distrust his goodness. Because God is a God of justice and terrible majesty, Satan caused them to look upon him as severe and unforgiving. Thus he drew men to join him in rebellion against God, and the night of woe settled down upon the world. When did all of this begin? Not with Adam and Eve. In heaven. And what did all these accusations cause amongst the once united family of heaven? Division, dissension, disunity, warfare. Why was there warfare? God had to defend himself against the accusations. Christ tried to reason directly with Lucifer, and Lucifer almost came back. But then he realized that he would have to apologize before the whole heavenly host. And that was too much for his pride to accept. And so he continued in his rebellion, and this time much more intensely, earnestly. That's what self does to you, dear ones. Jesus is pleading for you to come back to him, to be loyal to him once again. And self gets in the way and says, you know, you've gone too far to repent and go back to Christ. You might as well just stay where you are. Or he comes in and says, it's going to be too humiliating for you to seek out all of those who you've sinned against and apologize to them. And he has 1,000 other excuses ready to bring before your mind, all in the effort to keep you from going back to Christ, pleading for forgiveness, and leaving the companionship of Lucifer. And the more you refuse to give in to the pleadings of the Holy Spirit to come back to Christ and loyalty to God, the less strong these pleadings become in your heart. And finally, just like Lucifer, you will cross the point of no return, and your probation will close upon you while continuing to exalt self and living in sin. So Lucifer went about accusing God of falsehood, but making it appear to be true. And Lucifer works through people today, even remnant brothers and sisters today, to do the same thing. Thus Lucifer deceived the angels, and thus Lucifer, through his agents in our midst, are deceiving our precious brothers and sisters of the faith. And all those who join in with the accusers of the brethren are joining them in rebellion against God's word. And they will not be allowed to remain in the light of truth very long in that deception and rebellion. But just like what happened on this earth, the night of woe will settle upon them and all of those who choose to remain under their influence. So God defended himself, and Christ took the lead in fighting with Lucifer and all the angels that joined along with him. And it was that very warfare that forced the rest of the angels to decide who they were going to be loyal to. To Lucifer, who was raising all these accusations, or with God, who had never harmed them at all. And when every angel had made their decision for God or for Lucifer, then they were immediately kicked out of heaven. Because how can created beings really believe that they can win a warfare against their Creator? The warfare was designed to bring every single intelligent angel to decide for themselves who they were going to follow. And once all the decisions had been made, the warfare was over. Lucifer immediately lost, and all his followers along with him were kicked out of heaven. So now we have a controversy in the midst of the remnant. What's the controversy designed to do? To lead every single remnant brother and sister to investigate and to decide for themselves. To no longer sit on the fence. To no longer be neutral. But to make their decision for truth or for error, to stand with the accusers of the brethren or to stand with those that are following in the truth of God. In other words, God cleansed heaven through this warfare. And God is trying to cleanse the midst of his people today, and he will continue to do so until every single person has made up his or her mind to serve God and follow in the ways of righteousness, or to serve Lucifer, the devil, Satan, and selfishness. And hearts are being plainly revealed, dear ones, if you just have the spiritual eyesight and discernment to see it. Fruits are being manifested that can't be hid. They're plain as day. So don't be caught up in following those that are self-seeking. Don't come under the influence of those whose actions show that they're jealous or envious of other brothers or sisters. And don't be part of groups whose main purpose is accusations against their fellow brothers or sisters. Because all of those fruits are characteristics of Lucifer. And if you come underneath that type of spirit, then the night of woe is going to settle around you and block out the light of truth, removing from you the love of God, the love for one another, and bringing a Pharisaical spirit into your life. One that rejects Christ. Because you'd have to sacrifice too much of self to accept Him. Don't let that happen to you. We're too late in the day. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions before we continue?
Somehow I can have an example of how Lucifer, somehow when he was cast into heaven for jealousy, and somehow heaven is sort of like, well, as we say today, a body. He and Lucifer is supposed to be like a kind of self who didn't want to serve his benefit or purpose for the body or heaven. Well, heaven is sort of like a body, and Lucifer was acting like a germ, and he made other angels to do the same thing like him. And so like how the body, he heals itself and the germs stop spreading and then they're cast out. So that's how, the same way how Lucifer and his agencies were cast out of heaven. Somehow, our body is sort of the same thing like how heaven was supposed to be like. And how Satan was supposed to be cast out, well, and his angels as well. So it's like how the body is supposed to get rid of bad cells that try to infect it.
Amen, little brother Joshua. That was really actually very well said. And seventh blessings to everyone. It is very much true, and as you were sharing that, Brother Joshua, it brought me back to actually thinking that way some time ago, and it was a rejoicing in my heart. Because in truth, we have to also, every single day, even as you were stating too, Brother Rob, we are making a decision every single day to either serve the Lord or serve the devil. It is as simple as that, and as profound as it is as simple, because in every decision that we make, we are making a choice for Jesus. Every decision that we make, we are making it a choice for heaven. Every decision that we make, as we're eating our food, as we're watching things, as we're speaking with our mouth, as we are wearing our clothing, as we go to certain places, we are making decisions to stand for Jesus and for heaven. And we're making an exact opposite decision, meaning to stand against Satan and his character and his ways. So I praise the living God for even this morning. I was spending some time thinking on, wow, what a rejoicing that the Lord has given me another day to wake up today and this beautiful Sabbath day. And it did not have to be given, but it was given. And I rejoiced in that and thanked Him for that, because there's so many different times along the week where I have not exactly lived up to all that I believe I can live up to by His mercy and grace. And I've fallen short, but I praise Him for not giving up on me. I have to say it like that. And being very long-suffering and patient and loving. And even as it is said, the Lord does not win us by force, but by loving us. And it's through His love and by His love that I am so very much encouraged to get back up, to keep pressing forward, to believe that He truly is the author and the finisher of my faith. I cannot save me. None of us can save ourselves. We are saved by the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. That shed blood, that resurrection, that Holy Spirit power, all my lands. These three gods combined together to bring forth a salvation that our tiny little finite minds will take all of eternity to even fathom. So I wake up and I praise the Lord. And I tell my love, and we share about that, waking up and praising the Lord and thanking Him for waking us up and giving us another day. And not even just us. Look at you all, dear brothers and sisters here, and your loved ones that have woken up, and the opportunity for them to hear the love of Jesus Christ and the power of His salvation. So every step that we take in passing on that word to others, to share that love with others, it's another stand saying, no, Satan, you're a liar, and all your ways are lies, and Jesus is truth and grace and love and peace, and heaven is cheap enough. So we're going to go ahead and share that, and we're going to stand up for Jesus everywhere we go. So thank you again, dear Brother Joshua, because it really is very much like that. We have to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to sit very firmly on the throne of our hearts so that He most certainly can cast out every vile thing that offends, that is in us, so that our bodies truly become the temple of the living God. So it's a very appropriate analogy, Brother Joshua. Thank you all so much.
Amen, dear brother, and amen, dear Brother Joshua. And as you were talking, Brother Joel, what came to mind is that the more we follow the truth, the more clearly we see the truth, and the more clearly it dispels darkness. And just the other way around, the more we refuse to follow the truth, the less bright the truth becomes, and the more confused the issues become. So it's like a scale. On one side is black midnight darkness. On the other side is the brightest light that you can imagine. And we're here in the middle where it's gray. A mixture of truth and error. A mixture of light and darkness. It's gray. It's neutral. And so which way on this scale are we going to go? If we accept the light and follow it, we're moving closer to the brightest white light possible. And thus we're getting farther and farther away from neutrality, from the grayness, from confusion and the pitch black darkness. So the more we follow the truth, the more clearly the truth becomes to us, and thus the more distinct the error becomes to us. But if we do not follow the truth, then we become more and more confused, and we go farther and farther downward towards the blacker darkness. And the light of truth fades away from our sight. So where are you on the scale, dear ones? I pray that you're way up there close to the top, so that there will be no deception that the devil can pawn off on you as being truth, but that you will clearly see that it's error, because it doesn't line up with the greatest light of truth that we have, and that is God's Word. That is Jesus Christ. The words of inspiration from on high. That's why we're told to test everything by the law, the Bible, and the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. And if they don't agree with this one word, they're both inspired. They both come through the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit. If they don't agree with this word of inspiration, it's because there's no light in it. It's all darkness. Because the devil is going to pour out all of his ingenious subterfuges, all of his masterful workings of deception are going to be let loose upon every inhabitant of this world, and especially upon those remnant people that are walking in the light as it shines across their pathway. And the devil's purpose is to try and deceive even the very elect. And what prevents the elect from being deceived? A thus saith the Lord. And it is written. Not a thus saith Bob Sessler. Not a it is written by Joel or Rose or any other believer. It is a thus saith the Lord God. That is what is going to save you from Lucifer's masterful deceptions. And anything less than that, you're going to be deceived. That's why you can't trust in your fellow men as to what is or what is not truth. You can't trust to your fellow men over who is or who is not walking in the truth. You have to trust to God's Word to determine what is truth. And don't be like Pilate that asks the question, but then he turns a deaf ear and walks away and follows in wickedness. But when you ask the question, what is truth? Wait for Christ to answer you. And that way, you'll have the blessed chance to know the truth and then to plead for the courage to follow the truth. And truly live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If more of the angels would have done that, in fact, if all of the angels would have done that, Lucifer would not have a single follower. But because some were more willing to believe what Lucifer said in accusations instead of checking it out for themselves, going to God Himself and asking Him, is this true? Because they just believed Lucifer. They were lost. They were deceived. So don't let that be your experience. In these last days, we must test every spirit that comes to us purporting to be telling us the truth. Test it to the law and to the testimonies, to the Bible and to the spirit of prophecy. If it agrees, it's truth. If it disagrees, it's error. It's just that simple. and praise God for his merciful kindness and compassion to each one of us to give us a written exposé of truth. The Bible and the spirit of prophecy. None of us need be deceived and lost. We have the standard book, the textbook, to know the difference between truth and error. So Satan misrepresented God. He charged God with falsehoods that angels believed was true. He was cast out of heaven for his lies. And sadly, the people of this earth has bought into his deceptions. And now this world is being drawn into this great controversy and is being filled with darkness. Continuing. The earth was dark through misapprehension of God, that the gloomy shadows might be lightened, that the world might be brought back to God, Satan's deceptive power was to be broken. Praise God, because we would have no chance to escape destruction if it wasn't for the Godhead having mercy upon each one of us by dispelling the dark, deceptive power of Lucifer and allowing a little bit of light to shine in our hearts. Continuing, this could not be done by force. The exercise of force is contrary to the principles of God's government. Now let's look at this for a little bit. The exercise of force is contrary to the principles of God's government. But what happened to Lucifer and all of his angels in heaven after all decisions had been made for or against God? Lucifer was forced out of heaven. He couldn't stay there. So what does it mean then that force is contrary to the principles of God's government, and yet God used force to cast Lucifer and his angels out? What does that mean? It's not a contradiction. God and Christ did not force any single angel to decide for Lucifer or for God. They all had the freedom to choose. God did not imply force. But Lucifer applied force to try and dethrone God and Christ. But when every single decision for or against God had been made and probation closed upon the angels, then God forced Lucifer and all his company to leave heaven. Is it any different with you and me, dear ones? While probation is still lingering, God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and the heavenly angels will not force you or me or any other human being to follow the truth or to accept Jesus Christ or to receive the gift of salvation. It's not by force. It's by entreaty. It's by pleading. It's by manifesting tireless love that God seeks to win us to his side. But it's our choice. But once every single choice has been made in the world, and probation close upon every single individual of the world, then God forces punishment upon the wicked. Every decision has been made, and now they reap the consequences of their decision against God. The plagues fall, and after 1,000 years, the lake of fire occurs. So this statement that the exercise of force is contrary to the principles of God's government deals with the plan of salvation. And once that plan has worked, once every decision for or against Christ has occurred, then probation closes, everyone is fixed beyond change, and then God forces punishment upon the wicked as the reward for their works in breaking his law. There are some that take this statement to the extreme, to the point that God will not destroy the wicked because force is contrary to God's government. And they fail to understand what the freedom of choice is all about. This plan of salvation that Jesus Christ was willing to carry out for you and me bought us probation, a second chance, the ability to escape Lucifer and come back to loyalty to our Father. Without the plan of salvation, we'd all be destroyed. The wages of sin is death. We would have already died. But in mercy, Christ bought us a period of time in which we can change our allegiance from Lucifer to God. But he will not force any of us to make that change. It's our decision. So God does not imply force to bring salvation upon anyone. It's all done by choice. Because the exercise of forcing someone to be saved or lost is contrary to the principles of his government. Continuing, he desires only the service of love, and love cannot be commanded. It cannot be won by force or authority. Only by love is love awakened. To know God is to love him. His character must be manifested in contrast to the character of Satan. This work only one being in all the universe could do. Only he who knew the height and depth of the love of God could make it known. Upon the world's dark night, the Son of Righteousness must rise with healing in his wings. Malachi 4, verse 2. So the only way to awaken love in someone's heart is by manifesting love to them. And that's what Christ did. His entire life was one manifestation after another of the love of God for humanity. And that love for humanity led him to willingly give up his life in order to save life. And dear ones, if God's love has awakened love in our lives, then we will be willing to do the very same thing. self will be totally crucified. The devil will be totally eliminated from our lives. His attributes will be completely removed from our character. All because of the love of God in our hearts. Only love can awaken love. And I pray that we will never forget this very profound statement. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions? Any other area that you'd like to bring up before we close, dear ones? Well, I ask you to please kneel and bow your heads for closing prayer to this youth and adult Sabbath school time. Dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for being the kind of God that you are, for truly being the opposite of the devil, and for manifesting love for each one of us through Jesus Christ to awaken love in our hearts to you and to all other of your creations. Father, indeed, continue to eliminate from us love of self, pride of opinion, envy, jealousy, evil surmising. Remove it completely from our hearts and put within its place thy love. Make it full and complete and all-encompassing so that there will be no room left for anything else except Jesus Christ. Help us to draw ever farther away from the middle of the scale, to come ever closer to the highest point of the scale, to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, because that word is ingrained in our very lives. And we thank you so much for doing so. Please don't let us be deceived by the devil's deceptions. Don't let us be deceived by the lies of men and the twistings of reason. But help us to test everything to a thus saith the Lord and an it is written. And please, Spirit, give us the spiritual discernment and the heavenly wisdom to clearly see the difference between truth and error, between the characteristics of the Almighty and the characteristics of Lucifer. And then the grace and the strength to follow the truth. We thank you so much, Godhead, for being here in our midst, and please continue to lead and guide us. Open our understanding as we enter into this next service. And we thank you so much for doing so. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So, dear ones, let us take 5 minutes and then meet back here at 11:08.